This is the second episode of Hello, I'm Menstruating, a podcast powered by the Happy Period Organization. I'm Chelsea. I am the host and as well as the founder of Happy Period. And I really want to go ahead and get this episode out of the way because I have a few things on my mind. Right now, in this present time, we're getting ready for the midterm election. So I think it's quite imperative for me to just take a little time to just talk about these two, I think, heavy topics for me, as well as something that's a bit important for Happy Period as well. So Happy Period, again, we're a charity that aims to reshape the outlook of menstruation to help eliminate the stigma for sure, to bring more of a positive outlook when it comes to periods, talking about periods, getting people to have the conversation about periods more in a positive light. So that's one prong of what we do. The second prong is providing period products to people who have periods and they are unable to get their period products, whether they don't have access to them because they are houseless, they have low income, they're displaced because of a natural disaster or something that's going on in their country or their neighborhood, their environment, whatever the reason being, we provide period products to them. We also provide period products to shelters. A lot of shelters do not, a lot of shelters rely on donations for sure, but many of them do not allocate their budget for menstrual products specifically like they would for basic like office supplies, salaries, and utilities. But it's, I mean, of course, every shelter is different, but we just know that a lot of them do not allocate their budget for period products, and therefore they rely on donations. So I wanted to break down two things, since, again, right now we are getting ready for the midterm election, and of course this is going to come back around like clockwork and get ready for 2020. I got some feedback recently about Happy Period as far as if we're about culture or if we're about policy. And honestly, I want to answer this and say that we are more so about culture because that's more so as far as like who I am. That's my angle. I truly believe that culture comes first anyways, and it's the culture that shifts and shapes policies. It's the reason why people go out and vote, or people vote A versus B, left versus right. It's all based on their culture. And of course, like whatever attitude the culture or society has, of course, it's gonna influence, you know, how the people vote. And yeah, as far as policies are, of course, it's extremely important to be aware of what's going on in your environment, especially from a local level. I wanted to bring up these two things that pretty much shape menstrual equity. When you think about like menstrual equity, like what is that? I'm talking about the access or lack of access to menstrual products for people with periods, and including in that they are not able to take care of themselves and have menstrual health because of economical reason. Being that they don't have any money to purchase the products, they have no income, they're homeless, there's no access to bathrooms, restrooms, there's no access to running water, there's no way for them to be able to take care of their periods. So this is a problem, this is an issue for them. And within that, you got like these two factors that I want to break down and talk about: the tampon tax and menstrual leave. And these two things, I actually feel like the tampon tax is getting talked about a little bit more often nowadays, and it's pretty awesome to see that there's so many groups now that have come together to help eliminate the tampon tax in their state. Like New York came on board a couple years ago, and I find that group to be super amazing, super inspiring, because they definitely came together to make that happen. And with that bill being signed, they are able to provide, the government provides menstrual products to shelters, schools, and women's prison facilities, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's quite awesome. And for a state like New York, I think it would be amazing if other states follow suit. California last year, which is California, that's where I live, that's where I'm at. Last year, kind of went through the same thing. And for so many years, this city assembly member, Christina Garcia, she was working on this bill for so long, and she kept like pressing and pressing and submitting and submitting. And even though she was not successful as far as with the bill to eliminate the tampon tax in California, she was able to get in her proposal to bring access to menstrual products for students. So in California, there's a certain number of schools in a few counties in California where there is access of free menstrual products for their students. And I believe it goes from like elementary through junior high to high school, and then maybe a couple of counties it's like just junior high and high school. The grades are kind of like spread out in a few of the counties in California, so I guess that depends. But I think that's amazing. And again, like with the tampon tax, like we are, it's crazy because we are essentially like we're taxed for having working uteruses. And we can't help it that we have periods, and that we can't even help it that, of course, we can't help it that we were born female. But it's crazy how, we have to pay for these products, yes. And the products are not cheap, they're quite expensive. We pay for them, and they were taxed for them. And let's say, like, if you're someone who you're on some type of like government assistance, you cannot pay or use your government assistance cash or EBT card or debit card, whatever it is. Like, you can't pay for pads and tampons using your government assistance funds. So, and I think that's kind of crazy because, I mean, you can't help it that you have a period. Your period's gonna come, but it's, of course, it's not food and water. I get that. But there, if there's a way where the government assistance can cover your rent or your utility bill, and your food, then, I think, like, especially for us women, periods are just as important. And I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, 'cause this is crazy because I've met so many women who talked about the fact that they have either been on welfare or they've been on some type of program with the government and receiving some type of assistance from the government, and they were still like tripping over how they were unable to pay for their pads and tampons. We have to make a change with that. And that brings me to policy, brings me back to policy, how important it is to vote, how important it is to get involved, have these conversations, and to, really come together and think about this and think about like what can we do to make some type of change, and what better time for that is right now in this moment. Okay, now I want to talk about menstrual leave for work. We have maternity leave, and I really believe that we should have menstrual leave, especially here in America. So let me tell you this little story. So something real that happened, a woman by the name of Alicia Coleman, she's a former 911 operator in Georgia. She was fired from her job at 911 as an operator because she got her period at work and she stained not only herself, like her clothes, but she stained the seat at work. And coworkers saw, everybody saw, supervisor saw, and the supervisor filed a complaint against her, and you know, and they made an issue with her as far as like with hygiene. And I guess that kind of boiled down, but not so much, because it happened twice. So I'm guessing she was written up the first time, and the second time it happened, they actually fired her. And I think that's pretty ridiculous, because here's this woman, you know, if we can't help, okay, here's the thing. We can't help it if we have heavy periods. Like, you really can't help that. There are things that you can do to deal with your heavy period. But think about it, like, if you're a single mom or working mom, it doesn't matter, like, and you're busy and you're working this job. My mother was a 911 operator years ago, and like throughout most of her 20s, actually. She was a 911 operator. And she would work, you know, 8, 9, 10 hour shifts and be busting her ass, working overtime. And, you know, she was like, my mom was telling me, like, you're sitting in this chair for hours and you get up to go use the bathroom or you go get up to for your break. But, you know, you can become really busy, and, you know, and other things going on with your life and, you know, being a mother. So I can imagine, just like with any job, that any work, you know, any working mom, you know what I mean? Like the stress and just things that are going through your mind. And then on top of that, you dealing with your period. So if, you know, for people out there, like who have, you know, we have heavy periods. Yes, we can take some Midol. We can change our diet and have some hot tea. But really a lot of things are just, it's going to take a while, especially if this, with this woman being a middle-aged woman, you know, like her body kind of like set in her ways and into the flow of things. So it's, I just can't find any excuse to like blame her for what's going on. So pretty much what I'm saying is it's very common for us to bleed out of our pad or bleed out of our tampon and have to like, you know, really double up on whatever it is. But anyway, they fired her, and the ACLU, they picked up her case, which I'm really happy about that. This did happen. This happened last year, by the way. But that brings me to the possibility of menstrual leave, right? So, and mind you, a lot of us menstruators, when we get our periods, the first 24 hours, the first 48 hours, and for a lot of us, the first 72 hours can be pretty awful because of the pain and the PMS and, you know, all of these symptoms from bloating to nausea and diarrhea and cramping. And some of us get hot flashes, and the period pain is so bad to where it completely, like, you know, keeps us, it just keeps us from doing a lot of things like our day-to-day activities. We can't even go forward with some of us. We won't even go outside. I can say, like, when my period cramps got so bad when I was in high school and college, I didn't go to class. I was just like, forget it. Like, it's not even about like me
I didn't feel like it, like, oh my God, I'm on my period. Let me just like not go to school. It's just for real. It was just that bad. And I just, knew like I'm gonna throw up. I'm going to like pass out, whatever it is. So I just always thought about like, as far as the when you're working, menstrual leave is so important. I mean, like, we're half of the human population, and most of us, a lot of us do work, and there's a lot more stress on a single mother, I believe, and just from hearing from talking to a lot of women who are single mothers, and and they still get their period, and they have to worry about their kids and have to worry about and kind of like don't really put themselves first anymore, and they have to just deal with a lot of things and just fight through it. So, and I asked a lot of them, like, do you think like having menstrual leave would be helpful for you as far as like when you're headed to work, when you're going to work, and you have the option to be able to like take off, and a lot of them said, yeah, I mean, that because it's literally like our bodies are recharging. Our bodies are doing so much in those days. And mind you, like some of us bleed for the whole 7 days straight, some of us 10 days, 5 days, four. So it, yeah, I mean, it, that would be, I think just that would help women a lot. I know a lot of people, I was reading the comments about, because there was an article about this maybe a couple months ago, and I was reading in the comments, and there was a woman who felt like it would be taking women back a bit, because it would be like just another excuse to, for men and non-menstruators to say, oh, well, they're the weaker sex or the weaker gender. And I see it from a closed-minded person's point of view, but since that's not who I am, I'm think looking at the bigger picture of it, there are some women where that low key may save it may save her life. And I'm thinking about women who have endometriosis, women who have dysmenorrhea, how the pain is so bad to where they pass out, or they are hospitalized and they have to have surgeries. And then also, a lot of times people, a lot of women and trans individuals, because not all women, not all people who identify as women have periods, and not all people who have periods identify as women. I'm aware of that, know that, and I'm only using women because I'm also talking about like my own experience. I do identify as a Black woman. So I'm talking about even like my experience, because I actually was at work, like in high school. I had a job in high school. I worked at Victoria's Secret, and there was definitely a time where I was at work and I threw up, and they sent me home, and it was pretty much because of my period. And like I shared before, when I was in school, there would be days where I just could not, get up to go to class, or I left school to come home, because it was just so unbearable. So I can imagine, especially thinking about one of my friends who has endometriosis, I can imagine like, having the option of not going to work today because of your period. Like, it could be just that bad. So it's just something I really wanted to just get that off my chest and talk about that, especially because right now, like, again, we're getting ready to go out and vote. I voted already. And there's so much representation nowadays when it comes to people who are running, which that makes me feel good. I think that's quite amazing. So yeah, I think my for sure, me as the founder of Happy Period and representing this organization, it's my responsibility to carry out our mission, which is to reshape the culture when it comes to talking about periods, the perspective on menstruation. So I just had to talk about this because those two things, menstrual leave and the tampon tax, like, we're going to need the culture to really come together and think about the rethink this a little bit in order to get these policies in place so we can be able to, you know, in the future vote for these things to either be eliminated or to be brought to light. And again, we got to go on with a couple of states who have eliminated the tampon tax, and even some countries have granted access to menstrual leave, Japan being a country, which I think is amazing how they, and it's crazy how I looked up, Japan actually granted menstrual leave back in, like, I think it's 1974. And I'm like, yo, come on. Come on, Japan. That's dope. That's amazing. You know, we have to get our shit together. We really do. So again, like, everybody out there, like, you got a period, this podcast is for you. We are rooting for you. We're here to talk about whatever you want to talk about. We're here to bring things to light. We want you to start these conversations, have these conversations with different types of people, and, you know, really think about it. Because a lot of times, a lot of this is, the change doesn't happen because people don't think about this and they don't even talk about it. Periods, for sure, is definitely something that a lot of us just don't talk about. But we're here to change that. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And, everybody out there that's listening to this, feel free to, leave me any feedback, questions, anything you want to talk about, just your thoughts on last week's episode, this week's episode, whatever you feel. You know, this is clearly the space for you to be yourself and to express that. Like, I'm completely open to hearing any feedback. So thanks for listening again, and catch you next time.